You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
We're putting up new buildings, we're knocking down the old. We're working in the summer heat and in the winter cold. And the labour power we sell, me boys, for a hard-earned weekly pay, produces mighty profits for the greedy MBA. And whether we were born here or born in Italy, in Greece, in Spain or Ireland, in England or Fiji, we all of us are workers, united we must stand, until the wealthy bludgers have been driven from our land. We faced deregistration, it backfired in the face. We're not fooled by arbitration, we won't stay in our place. We hit the bosses hard and fast to win and keep our gains, and break a couple of concrete pours to back our log of claims. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history and we never will be cowed. Our builder's labour is a name to make a man feel proud.
It's good morning from the Concrete Gang, a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and coming to you direct from one of the offices at the union's headquarters.
Level four.
We're on level four. We've worked that out. Anyway,
FDA room.
Yes. Now, that's an unfortunate trip down memory lane, but we won't go there. Now, good morning, Campo.
Good morning,
Gorilla.
Good morning, young Warren. Campo. Gorilla.
It's been a big week in some not so good ways, and I think we should start off by acknowledging the passing of Jack Mundy, a
great man,
a legend of the industry, and one of the initiators, I'm not going to say the originator, but one of the initiators of the Green Bands campaign, because there were a lot of people from other unions involved, but Jack was the standout. He certainly represented the cause of Green Bands, a social responsibility for building workers, and also a way of creating some work for building workers too, because the renovation of historic buildings has been an important part of the industry ever since. So Jack passed away. He had a long illness, and unfortunately he's passed away at the age of 90, and he is in a group of people who are going to be remembered in the industry for many, many years to come. So it is unfortunate that Jack has passed away, and our condolences to Judy, all the family and the friends and associates of Jack Mundy.
Oh, mate, and part of his fine work was the rocks in Warren. Part of his fine work was the rocks in Sydney.
Rocks in Sydney.
And also the
Wallamaloo.
Yeah.
King's Cross, Victoria Street.
Yeah.
Righto. Where in it? And then, of course, there are all the other
Don't move
green
the
bands,
mic, mate.
Other green bands around Australia, which followed the example of the builders' labourers' struggle for green bands in Sydney. So
very similar ones we had down here.
Yes, and in Tasmania, and everywhere there were green bands that followed the example. Righto. Now, we should also acknowledge the passing of another person who's had a fair old impact on the industry, because we all loved his music.
Oh,
the late and great Little Richard passed away at 87 this week, and we'll also play a little tribute to
Richard. A few falling off the perch, isn't he? A few musos.
Some good ones this time around, isn't it? This year we've lost some very good musos. It's unbelievable.
Yep, so And even last year we lost quite a few too. So we will play a track to remember Jack, and we'll also be playing a track at the end to remember Little Richard. Let's have a talk about some things that are happening in the industry. And first up, Super.
Oh.
Couple of issues with Super. One, we've got a position now where the Morrison government very generously said you can take $10,000 out of your Super early release.
Even if you haven't got it.
Can only take
get an advancement.
I don't think there'll be any advances. But the problem we've got is there has been efforts to defraud our members in CBUS. One of our stewards, as we mentioned last week, identified that at the very last minute that money was being taken out of his account with the authority of the Australian Taxation Office, without the Australian Taxation Office doing any checks. Now, at the last minute, we saw that the CBUS could in fact stop the transaction. It was just about in the false bank account, but they stopped it at the last minute. As a consequence, the ATO, we said last week, had stopped the transactions. Well, guess what? They stopped them for 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, they were back doing the same thing. You can get the money. You don't have to prove who you are when you make the application. And if you have not stolen the whole identity of the CBUS member, but enough of it to identify the name, the date of birth and the account number, then you can have a fair old go at getting the money. Now, CBUS are sending out text messages. Or if you only have a landline, they are ringing the landline to check with you as to whether you have made the application. The problem, of course, is you've only got 5 days in which to do it. So you get it on the Monday, you've got to have paid the money by Friday morning. So if you don't respond to the text message, the first text message that comes out, you are in every chance of getting defrauded. So if you get a text message which talks about CBUS, don't initially treat it as a potential rort. Ring up CBUS. Find out what's going on. Make sure that you are in a position where you are asking the questions before the process just goes on and the money's gone. So, folks, that's the first part of it. The second part of it is, if you defraud, you are facing fines and all the rest of it. So if you're making an application for the money, actually have a talk to CBUS, because if you think you can just take the money out and you're working, you might find yourself in other difficulties.
Well, obviously, and also with the $10,000, Don't go in there and think it's a cash grab. At the moment, you know, a lot of people, if you're going to access your super, use it as a last resort, because taking that out, you're costing yourself hundreds of thousands if you look at the breakdown from CBUS. Talking to the CBUS coordinators yesterday, they're saying it's bounced back a little bit, so which is good. We all took a hit in our super, but it looks like it's sort of bouncing back a bit, so which will be good for all of us.
So if you are being told by people who reckon they know that you just take the money out, one, make sure that you have a basis of claim. You've got to be unemployed, or you've got to have had your ordinary hours reduced. Not your overtime, your ordinary hours reduced. And two, the possibility is if you have taken the money out inappropriately, you might have to pay it back. A fine plus pay it back. So be careful. Get advice before you do these things. CBUS are not going to stop you doing what you can legally do, but they're going to give you some advice so you don't get caught out. And, of course, make sure if you get the text message asking if you authorise this, ring CBUS straight away.
Or the new CBUS organiser, Jerry Benstead. What a fine-looking man we saw the other day, old brother Bumstead.
in his new shirts.
New shirts. $500 worth of shirts he bought. You should see him. He still hasn't had a wash or shave or done his hair, but he's got new shirts. But someone's got to tell old Buzzer, when you buy those snug fit, body-hugging shirts, you don't buy them one size too small. Unless you've got high tensile cotton on the buttons, because I think he's going to shoot someone, mate. Those buttons are under a fair amount of strain, the ones I saw.
I've got a bit. He did fix it, though. He took his singlet off.
He took his T-shirt off underneath, but I think that didn't save the day. But anyway, Buzz is looking like a fine gentleman now in his new role as a C-bus
coordinator.
He
won't be organised.
One thing hasn't changed, though. He's parked in there. He's parking downstairs, still parking in the Union car park, and he hasn't lost it. He got to have his car without the handbrake on again. He's done it again. But anyway, so ring if you've got trouble with your C-bus, ring Bumstead, brother Bumstead.
That's right. People are there to help. Make sure you do it. Now, we should also just mention before we go to a track that Westgate is continuing its front page disaster story, and that is now we have the joint venture basically sacking people, cancelling parts of the job and so on to continue putting pressure on the state government to avoid paying for the PFAS removal. And it came out this week also that when Transurban, the developers of the Westgate project, did the environmental impact, all the testing that went on did not include PFAS, even though part of that site is in fact Coot Island, or adjacent to Coot Island, where so much PFAS was used to suppress the fire at Coot Island, which is now over 20 years ago. So here we have a whole lot of people getting sacked this week, and there'll be more people getting sacked next week, both staff and workers on the site, as the CPB John Hollands Consortium continue to try and stand over the state government and get some money that they should have in fact planned for.
And we'll, after this track, we'll come back to about people being sacked after this track. So
yep.
it's a ode. Would you say ode to our
tribute?
A tribute to our good friend Jack Monday.
Boys of the BLF.
Farm, sir. His
I hope you enjoyed that track.
Roaring Jack.
Good song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great song. Now, just on sackings, I've got to say, there's been quite a few sackings the last couple of weeks, but their bosses never fail to disappoint you and make any excuses why they're sacking blokes. And have a guess what? The coronavirus. Perfect for them, isn't it?
Perfect storm.
Perfect storm to get rid of blokes, you know? We want to sack 20 form workers. We've got 8 floors to go, but, you know, because of the coronavirus, oh, mate, it's the best one. And our good friends from Australand or Fraser's, you know, just sacked everyone.
CIP, it's also one of their names, isn't it?
Well, it's one of their building arm, but, yeah.
Tentacles.
They've sacked everyone because they reckon they're just going to get other companies to build it to save them the heartache. So there's a whole lot going on.
Yes, indeed. So Fraser's are obviously going to be mentioned in dispatches. For people who are trying to take advantage of the circumstances, I understand that our good friends, independent contractors...
Independent, the Scaffies, they're putting all their blokes on casual because of coronavirus. They haven't lost any work, but now everyone's got to go on casual because of coronavirus.
That's what it says. When you get coronavirus, you're allowed to go on casual. Surely that's in there somewhere.
That's under new legislation, I believe.
It's a Christian Porter special.
So, you know, some of the builders and bosses and the subbies are taking advantage of corona, trying to get rid of good blokes. So, no good.
We will obviously have a whole lot more stories to go through before this is all over. But just on the coronavirus, a warning also to both employers and employees. Temperature testing is not being in any way endorsed by the industry and the industry COVID-19 task force, because there is no agreement on the process. And until such time as all the protocols are in place, who does the testing, what form of testing, and that can go on, the union will not support temperature testing of employees entering the site, because there are 101 reasons why your temperature might be up. And unless it's done properly and in accordance with an agreed procedure in the whole state, we are going to have problems where people are going to be picked on. You can see it now. They're trying every other bloody stunt under the sun, as we just mentioned. So,
a bit like the drug and alcohol.
Yes, please.
That in.
So temperature testing is not going to be agreed till such time as there is a whole proper process put in place and it has checks and balances. Now, I reckon we should also mention the CIP collapse.
Yes, well, out at Mulgrave, out at Peters, I think we gave a report last week about the formwork collapse. Well, woe betide, they decide they're going to pour another pour, which is decidedly a lot higher than the last one, 5 stories up. Same sort of thing with precast, and we haven't even found out why the last one collapsed. So I can't believe that, and there's a very heated argument about that, and which I can't understand either. I thought it was just, you know, why would you try that? But CIP getting a little bit excited out there, and obviously we need to get the results from the first collapse from the engineers to find out why that happened before we go forward.
I would have thought so too. The engineers, in fact, have been authorised or engaged to do the process of checking, and that includes WorkSafe.
WorkSafe's engineers, yeah.
And surely you would wait the report before you plan on putting more people up in the air, pouring concrete and putting people at risk.
5 stories up in the middle of nowhere, nothing underneath, there's not a floor underneath, it's 5 stories complete drop.
It's a plank between 2 buildings, between the building and the car park, 5 stories up with a precast member going up from the ground up. So the boys thought, well, we rode the last one down 3 metres. We're not riding this one down 5 floors, because that's not going to be the same result.
No.
Especially cheerio, the Anglo-Italian boys.
Yeah. Yep. And CIP, you're going into the Scallywags register. So we've probably got a bit of a story too about LS Precast. The, what shall we call them? The so-called precast facility for Westgate. Obviously, Westgate think they're going to do whatever they've got to do and save some money along the way. And what's happening now at the Benalla LS Precast site has got to the point where people are being asked to actually work underwater almost. It's up beyond knee height. They've got no toilet facilities in keeping with the normal industry standards. So many cubicles per person on the site, all that stuff. None of that is in place. It has been an issue that has now gone on for nearly 5 months, and the number of toilets has not increased, but the workforce was increased by something like 100%.
You've got to laugh. John Hollands, Westgate, CPP. They've tried and reinvented the wheel, and I tell you what, the wheel has fallen off the wagon, hasn't it? It is an absolute disaster.
And of course, if they're going to start cancelling the job, what are they going to do with all this precast that has been produced? Anyway, a cheerio to the members up at LS Precast, because they are isolated, they're in the country, there ain't too much work up around Benalla, and people are basically trapped there and trying to make a quid. But the process of investigation of all the issues on the site by the local WorkSafe inspectors has been pretty bloody ordinary as well. The list of matters that they have not addressed is not one or two items. There's well over 15 items, I think it is, at the moment. The toilets is a simple one. There's an industry standard which WorkSafe have on their website, and they don't meet it, but WorkSafe don't enforce it. So there's going to be a whole lot more issues going on with LS Precast, and hopefully WorkSafe will pull the finger out and do something about it.
Well, I hope you don't have to wait as long as I've waited for WorkSafe to support the green sticker on the tower cranes, because they haven't supported that at all, and it's an industry-wide standard now. I mean, all the tower cranes in the city and all that, with the tower crane group, they've all agreed that, you know, for years now, that we must have a green sticker on it. And if you remember rightly, that Clark's crane that came down out in Box Hill, if that had a green sticker on it, they might have found there was a pin missing, and that rope wouldn't have taken off, and that bloke wouldn't be dead, and the other bloke wouldn't be in a wheelchair.
Except for the rest of his life. And for a $5 pin or whatever, it could have got picked up. We've got, you know, disaster. And a green sticker, I think it cost $500, could have prevented someone's life, unparalleled, two people's lives and their families.
Well, it's just a third party, isn't it? I mean, because we understand that when people on the jobs aren't, not everyone's expert in tower cranes. It's just a third party to go over it and make sure that everything's done safely, and it gives them, even the OH&S blokes, and maybe carpenters, or might have expertise in the area. It gives them a bit of relief that the third party's looked at the crane, everything's done right, and it's all safe to go. And when it's swinging around over the top of blokes and people in the public and all that, that it's all safe to go. But, you know, obviously, WorkSafe don't think it's that important. And I'll tell you what, the family of those two people up there would have.
I don't think Michael Clark thinks it's that important.
Well, Michael Clark, without 100%, because it's cost.
Righto, we might go now to Scallywags. There's a few stories along the way with Scallywags. Obviously, LS Precast and WorkSafe for the Benalla plant and the problems there. CPB and John Hollands for the, Chinese government model of trying to stand over Australian governments and workers to get money, which they should have in fact sorted out well before they even quoted the job.
And what's their model at the moment? The Chinese just don't buy a barley and cook and wheat beef, and all that, and beef, send the farmers broke, and then buy the land.
And they called us Chewy on their boot.
Oh, yes. Righto, now, we've got some other people that need to be mentioned. Obviously, the Morrison government and the Australian Taxation Office for opening up our members' super accounts to fraud and all sorts of other problems. Cane construction?
Oh, canes. Just when you think it's safe to go back in the water, like out at the Monash Hospital in Clayton, I suggest it wouldn't be a nice thing if we put a bit of a banner up and thanked all the staff there for what they've done, put their lives at risk to keep our community safe and all that. Put a bit of a banner up thanking them, but nah, can't. They didn't like that idea. They wanted to put up with the union logo on it or anything like that. So I dare say Canes will put one up, but I mean, yeah, because we came up with that idea. And it was just about thanking the workers there, because, I mean, all said and done, they have put their lives at risk to save, you know, saving our community. But nah, good old Canes. You know.
Righto. Well, we've got a couple of other people to get mentioned too. One is Techni Piling.
Mate, nowhere to be seen, old Tetney. Supposed to come in and do his EBA, and now he's ran away, and he's got no one can hear from him. No phone service, no nothing.
And Scape. In Collins Street.
80 Collins Street. Doing
Scape.
Yeah, Build Scape or whatever they're called. 80 Collins Street doing a bit of a refurb there, fit out of a building. No, coronavirus doesn't affect them because they haven't changed their ways. There's no nothing. No social distancing, no hand sanitizer, no nothing.
Oh. Think they're in Trump America. And APM, your old mates.
Oh, APM. Oh, God. They never let you... Yeah. Listen, they could win the most consistent award, couldn't they?
We might invent it for them.
So young Paul's got a nice big job just up from St Kilda Junction there, and... And have a guess what? You know, he's telling us how he's going to do it with it, right? The formwork EBA? No. Non-EBA formworker.
Oh. And the...
Shock horror from APM.
Oh, dear.
And when they go broke, it all turns to tears. They'll be knocking on our door trying to sort it out.
Yeah. Now, Suki Lawas, we've got a couple. CIP. CIP have... had the big sook up that out at the old Nissan factory. And Mick, the boss out there, mate, crocodile tears coming down your cheeks at 100 mile an hour. But I've got one. I've got another one. Apparently, one of the senators questioned Chris Enright from the Registered Organisations Commission, ex-ABCC, mate, all the rest of it, ex-copper, didn't like being called drunk on power, etc. He's had the big sook up. He's written a letter to the Senate complaining about Senator Kitching, who just sort of suggested to him that maybe it was not appropriate to carry on the way he'd been carrying on as a public servant. But no, he's chucked the shits and he's written a letter of complaint that he has been held to ridicule. Well, Chris,
you're on
he
the right.
Be held to ridicule.
He's on the right show now.
So well, who are we going?
Well, who we got?
I reckon that when it comes to the issue,
CIP, come on.
Yeah, I'm CIP all the way.
All right, CIP is for the Tuki Lala or for Scallywag?
Both. The run and double.
Ooh. I'd go Scallywag. I'm not sold on the Suki Lala.
I'm saying Chris Enright for Suki Lala.
You can't have vote me on the start of the show, can you?
Ooh. Yeah.
Self-proclaimed, of course. Yes.
So we'll go the even split with the wisdom of Solomon. CIP for Scallywag and Chris Enright for Suki Lala.
And we'll go at the same old way.
Dare to struggle.
Dare to win.
If you don't fight,
you lose.
Good morning from the Concrete Gang and Little Richard.
Tutti Frutti.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.